Well, it's a beautiful day. The sun is shining. In fact, to be quite honest with you, the sun has shone all week.
It's been a lovely week.
A very nice week. Welcome to Tales of the Wales, our weekly podcast on living with cancer. I have it, and my beautiful wife has to put up with it.
I'm looking after you.
Yeah, and you're doing a brilliant job because, you know, I've been terminally ill for 5 years, and I'm getting to the stage now where I'm not on any treatment at the moment because I had that appalling flu, but I'm not feeling good. Are you all right? You're not crying, are you?
No.
Oh, okay. So you're mopping your face with a tissue. What?
How's that mopping my face?
Oh, sorry, that's a...
I rubbed my eyebrow.
Oh, may I say it's one of the most beautiful eyebrows I've ever seen.
Stop it.
But it does get, listen, we might sound cheery now, but we haven't had a particularly good week, have we?
No, you were very down, especially on Wednesday when sometimes I find when you kind of get yourself mentally into a weird place and you go a bit sort of...
Steady on, Arch.
Neurotic.
Oh,
and so when I came downstairs from work on Wednesday, you were, I'm not going to work on Friday. And when we go to your birthday dinner, I'm going to wear a mask because I can't be exposed to any germs. I could die. I was like, okay.
Oh, by the way, lots of people send their best wishes for your birthday.
Oh, that's very nice. Yeah. Thank you. Yes. And I thought, well, since whenever we were all meant to wear masks, you point blank refused because you said I've got asthma and I can't breathe with one on.
Yeah.
And also we're going for dinner. So for those two reasons, one, you say you can't breathe with one, and also it's quite difficult to eat wearing one. Mm. I don't think you should be wearing a mask on tonight.
No, I don't feel like that anymore.
You just got yourself into a weird place because you saw Julia had a cold on the television and therefore you thought you were going to get one and die, which was, you know, as Professor Tom said to you, you can't just wrap yourself up in cotton wool and not do anything now.
No.
Because you're scared of catching something, because what's the point in that for your last bit?
We don't know how long. And it's still, but I don't feel, I mean, it's me at the moment and maybe I'm, but I don't feel I'll make the end of this year. And do you, I mean, because you've had slightly more experience than me with
other
people.
Well, we have heard you say, I won't be here at Christmas many times, but this is the time.
Well, I wasn't really this year, was I?
But this time, you know, the way things are at the moment, it's more likely than any other time that you might be right.
Yeah. Well, you can't go on. I mean, I know, I had 25 years ago had my first brush with cancer, this cancer. So I haven't done badly. But sometimes you do get depressed. I mean, nice days, the dogs are sitting there and you know.
Just sitting on your own, it all goes on in your head.
Yeah.
And then when I just said to you, like, what? You're just being bonkers.
Mm.
Of course you can't not go to work just because you're scared you might get a germ.
Well, no, of course
and you
not.
Can't
and
go
I,
to the restaurant with the mask on.
Birth,
and then you were like, oh, no, actually, you're right.
I know.
I won't go to work after all.
Well, I absolutely love going to work. It's keeping me going, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. That's why it would have been really silly not to go, because anyone there had a cold.
But yes, and you know, we're going to have a see my oncologist on Tuesday this week.
We are.
And see if we can. I mean, it's unfair. You can't say to a doctor, so could you tell me when I'm going to die? Because they can't tell, and they, you know.
You can ask for a prognosis and they can give you a rough idea.
Yeah, I mean, and they have over the last few years.
Based on their experience and best guesses.
But I think, you know.
Obviously, no one can say for certain anything's going to happen.
No.
But I think when we went last time, he wasn't really able to say whether you could go back on treatment again or anything because you were still very poorly from the flu. And so he said then, let's just see where we are in 6 weeks' time. So this is now 6 weeks' time. And we can see where we are and maybe get some answers or at least a bit of clarity on the situation.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing is, and I promise I won't, is when I'm going to see the doctor, I suddenly put on a braver face. Well, not that's the wrong word, isn't it? The wrong description. And he says, how are you feeling? I usually say, fine.
Yes.
Which
But you've promised me you're going to be honest with him this time.
Yeah, well, I am being honest, but I always try and, you know, like, I was really cross with myself because it's your birthday dinner tonight. And I'm trying really hard not to sound ill, but it's difficult. I can do it for an hour or so on the TV. I don't look ill. I don't sound ill. But I'm only doing a little bit of the show.
Yeah, I know, because I see you all day, every day, and you know, it's a you struggle with a lot of things, which are probably a lot of people in your position do. So, getting dressed, which is just putting on some loungewear, is
loungewear
is exhausting, and then you have to have a rest after that.
Having a shower, have to have a rest after that.
Yeah, but having a shower is a big deal. Quite tiring and exhausting. So.
I mean, even making a cup of tea, which I...
You haven't made a cup of tea for quite a long time now.
I have. I did the other day.
The other day?
Oh, I can't remember when, but in between you graciously making me a couple of cups of tea, I had one. And I don't know. I'm still able to pour out a bowl of cornflakes.
You're good at cornflakes?
Yeah.
But crunchy nut.
Yes, my favourites. It does drag you down, this feeling of exhaustion, which apparently all cancers cause. You know, mine's kidney cancer, but it could be any cancer. You'd still feel this.
You still get cancer fatigue.
Yeah. And along with having had the new strain of flu and ending up in hospital, it all kind of gets on top of you. Hospital's the last place you want to be if you're ill.
Yeah, definitely. You don't want to be going back to
I'm not hospital. Being rude about the nurses and the doctors. It's just that, you know, it's difficult to...
And I don't think that they could do much about the fatigue thing. No. It is just, you just need to rest, try and do a you know, get a bit of fresh air, which you can do now the sun's out.
Yeah.
Just have a little slow stroll around the garden.
So, listen, we're having a moan, but I'm having a moan. I don't really like to have a moan because... That's not the point of, really, we just talk rubbish about nothing most of the time.
I mean, from a person who's looking after the person with cancer point of view,
it
can be hard not to get dragged down yourself by the person who's got cancer telling you how terrible they feel.
Yeah.
And you have to try and stay a bit positive.
I am trying not to do that.
No, I know you're brilliant, but nevertheless, it is the situation we're in. You are feeling pretty rough, and obviously, I want you to tell me about that. But then I obviously feel sad about that too. But I need to be the one who is, come on, let's get out in the garden or do.
I know, and I know when you're doing that, and I feel really bad about the stress I put on you, and I think anybody. Who has some, the person who's looking after them, as it gets later into your cancer journey, the more stressful it gets. Because I'm aware sometimes that I can be sitting doing nothing, blocking a few people on social media, winding people up. I can see that you're not, you know, you're a bit worried about the, I mean, you're very worried about a situation And the other thing that it's done to me, I've never been a really emotional person, but I burst into tears because of mistreated donkeys appearing on TV.
You are getting a bit. I mean, you read me this really cheesy, silly poem about dogs yesterday, which I thought, oh, that's bloody awful. And then I turn around and you're crying your eyes out because you're so moved by it. So that made me laugh. That did.
That wasn't supposed to make you laugh. It was a lovely part. We're sitting here with the dogs beside us. Before we started doing this, they were growling at things outside, and they're being completely quiet now, aren't you?
They're being good. Being good.
But I'm sorry if I'm being a bit of a misery guts on this one. It's not. But I would show you and let people know how you feel.
Exactly. The whole point of the podcast is that there's. We're probably feeling the same as a lot of other people in the same situation. And so it probably is nice for other people to hear, like, God, I'm not the only one who's crying at the donkey adverts and feeling a bit fed up and getting a bit paranoid.
But you hear people all the time say, I'm fighting against this. And it's not something you can actually fight against, from my point of view. It's something that you have to go with the flow, in a way.
Yeah, you just have to deal with it.
Yeah. And sometimes I think now at this stage, I'm not dealing with it as well as I used to be. But then what I can't, I suppose a long time, the last chemo I was on, the side effects.
Pretty horrible.
Pretty horrible. And it's now like I'm still where the side effects were, but that's the cancer probably affecting me. And then you get a bit down. So I'm not going to get down.
No. And then if we see Professor Topper, he might say, well, you can go back on that chemo. He might not, but he might say you can. And then you've got to make the decision. Do you want to? Because it made you feel, it's going to make you feel worse than you feel now. And you don't feel great now. So,
well, I couldn't feel worse than that. I mean, that would mean, to be actually honest with you, if I felt any worse than I feel now, and I'm not being horrible or anything, I just couldn't see the point of continuing. Because it's just it's a drag on you and everyone else. And it's not as if I'm a young person.
You're not old.
Well, I don't know. 70s, I consider
people live
quite
to,
old.
Well into their 90s.
Yeah, but not that many when you look at the amount.
And they're quite wrinkly.
Yeah, and I don't want to get wrinkly, that's for sure. I mean, my hands are getting wrinkly. Not to mention the marks all over from the blood thinners. There are so many. I'm not on any kind of cancer treatment, but I'm on about 20 other drugs a day, probably more. You know, one for doing one thing, one for countering the effects of that thing, one for boosting some hormones, and just, it's, I mean, medical science, whatever, medicine, is amazing.
It is, but it is taking me longer and longer to sort the pills out every week. Is that adding more and more into the...
I don't know what I do with that. I don't know how people manage. Because, A, you know about medicine.
Not really, but I've just picked up some stuff along the way.
Yeah, and you did a degree in biology. That helps.
It's a long time ago.
Well, we're not talking about your birthday, are we, or the 8? You're only 40.
I wish that were true. Actually, I don't mind being 60. I'm quite okay with that.
Good.
Some people don't get to 60.
When did that happen? That, because you weren't okay with it the other day.
No, I've been totally, I've never said I wasn't okay with it at all. I just said I don't want, I'm not worried about not making, because you were, one of the things you were getting upset about, like you were upset that you weren't doing some big thing for my birthday.
No, I'm upset about
you haven't taken me shopping and we can't really go out like we used to London and stuff like that. And I was just saying, I'm not bothered, you know, it's not, I've got to the age where it doesn't matter. Not that I mind being 60, but I don't care either way, really. It's going to be nice to celebrate my birthday with my sisters and my daughters.
And you've had, you know, your daughters took you out for a birthday dinner.
That was so lovely, yeah. Billy and Cammy took me to a lovely Indian restaurant in Tunbridge Wells, where we had like a taster menu with 6 courses and lovely wines with each one. But unfortunately,
I wish I'd filmed you a cocktail when you got home.
I was a bit squiffy. That's quite a lot of wine.
Squiffy, you came in, you didn't even see me standing there. And then you said, thought you'd be in bed. And I went into the kitchen for something, turned around, I couldn't find you, and you were already in bed.
I did,
asleep.
I did go to sleep with my makeup on, very naughty.
And the dogs didn't know what to do. Well, they did. They just climbed all over you and you didn't even wake up.
No, it was one glass of wine too many. I think it was that cocktail at the beginning, actually, that did it. But
I think it was probably that and the glass of champagne before you left. And
It had such a lovely time.
Yeah. Not that you remember. Or has it come back now?
No, of course I do remember, yeah. No. And it was very delicious food. So thank you, Holly and Cammy. That was wonderful.
And you had your night away, which was really good.
That was last Sunday, yeah. We went with
My brother came to babysit me.
Yeah, I went to stay with some friends at the house at the seaside, which was, and it was really lovely. That was nice, just a group of 13 ladies and the Michael Bublé
singer. And that was because a number of the ladies all have their birthday in the same month.
Mm.
Yeah. So. And really that did sort of, and it, you know, that's another thing, that the person looking after the person with cancer, if you can find any way to give them some respite, I suppose is the best word, isn't it?
It was nice to just get away from cancer for a night.
Yeah.
That was good. As Joan would say, I had a lovely day.
Well, yeah. And getting away from cancer, you're dealing with it and you have it. You have to just, I mean, I think of it as just a mate who's hanging about.
A mate?
Well, not really a mate.
Not the kind of mate you want, really.
No, I know. But, you know.
I think in some ways, you've got to look on the bright side. We're quite lucky in some ways because although you're feeling pretty rough, and got no energy and maybe a bit sicky and stuff, you're not in terrible pain. And some people are in pain, and that must be so much harder to deal with. You know, we're lucky that paracetamols and cocodamols are keeping that all under control.
Well, we did have a funny, I don't know if we talked about this on the last podcast, but we had, you know, the lady from our local hospice came round, and they're really good. They call us every few weeks and just check we're okay. And I don't like taking painkillers. Because my mother had all sorts of strange ideas about what. For some reason, I thought, until I'm really in pain, I'm not going to take too many painkillers, because when I really need them, they won't have any effect. But since the nurse from hospice came and said, well, why are you know, because I've got a tumour on my spine, which is pressing on something occasionally.
Ask her to, because I was like, because I keep on saying, please take your paracetamols. And you're like, no, they won't work if I take them, or some nonsense. So anyway, she did explain to you the best way to do it was just to take them regularly. So we put them in. So now they're in your pill regime of three times a day. But on Wednesday, the day when you were feeling really rough,
did you sleep more in?
No, don't you remember? You said you'd not taken your cocodamols. You went like, oh, I wasn't in pain, so I didn't take them. And then you spent the next day feeling dreadful.
Yeah, well, I haven't got my head round the fact that if you've got a sort of ongoing pain that is, you know, some days not as bad as other days, but it's going to be there and you're never going to lose it at a certain stage, unless you take, this is, I mean, I might be wrong here, so correct me, but unless you continue to take the painkillers in a regular way, then the pain isn't going to be alleviated.
Yeah, they're easier to, they can keep it at a suppressed level. Yeah. If you wait till the pain gets really bad, they've got to do a much harder job of like getting that pain right down before they can get you sort of on an even keel again. So just keeping it at a steady rate.
I'm on baby painkillers.
Yes, paracetamol is not a strong one, and cocodamol, they're not super strong. So there's lots of other ones to play with afterwards, once in the armory, if they stop working.
Well, listen, I don't want to depress anybody anymore, so I'm feeling good now. And I can't wait.
We've unburdened for the week.
I can't wait to get back on the air next Friday night on Talk TV and radio as a plug, and wind everybody up. But it, for those of us who have cancer, and my thoughts are, don't hide away from it. Don't pretend you haven't. A lot of people won't know what to say to you if you've just been newly diagnosed. And the thing is, you need to take the lead in that, don't you, really? And make sure that, because talking about it actually does help, for me anyway. I can't imagine bottling it all up and pretending you're fine until you can't anymore. Must be terrible. Anyway, listen, have a great weekend. And do you want to finish?
Yeah, have a lovely weekend, everybody. And I'm very much looking forward to my champagne later. Well, tomorrow.
Happy birthday.
For tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, all week it's been your birthday, hasn't it, really?